Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off and running hour two here. Sports Talk, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Frank Wilson coming up next. University of Texas San Antonio football coach at 5:20. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Which game on the Saints schedule excites you the most? Is it the Falcons at home, Cowboys on the road, Steelers, Eagles, other? Cast your vote online with the Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. We're going to get to Joe in Mandeville in a second.
Yeah, go ahead, now, Bobby. Christian, you know when you talked about Frank Wilson, you know, everyone, I don't know if mentor is the right word, but like get your foot in the door. You know who really gave Frank Wilson, because it all went back to recruiting. You know who gave him this opportunity?
Kojo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that
that pipeline.
Yeah, pipeline and where you end up and the opportunities. Yeah, so Coach O and Frank and I go way back. You know,
that cat can recruit now.
Well, the thing is, what is your background in New Orleans? New Orleans has football players, the River Parish.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all that. So that's what's interesting. And now Frank's at Texas San Antonio, all the players in Texas, and you still have – that background in the New Orleans metropolitan area, it'd be interesting to see how many players that, you know, they're not going to LSU or maybe not necessarily local, and they end up at a Texas San Antonio because of Frank Wilson.
Joe in Mandeville. What's going on, Joe? You're on WWL.
Yo, Bobby.
Joe!
There he is.
You know, I call here every time when I get upset at you now.
Okay, now, come on, tell me why you're upset with me.
The last time we went to the family reunion in Abbeville.
Yes?
I do recall we're direct descendants from France. You didn't talk any smack to Tommy about this soccer game. You know, you're going to have to redeem yourself and wager him out of that restaurant you have on Battery.
Well, that's a good call, Joe. I'm going to have to call back Tommy and say a wager. I get a free meal at Drago's. You come to the Cajun Cannon because France versus Croatia. Now, Joe, I don't know. Thanks for enlightening me because that is a good call. Because I should have thought of that. I should have been more quick-witted to get on top of Tommy. But you know what? I just love the Croatian people because they badasses. Joe,
so are we.
Yeah, I know. So are we. You go back to Napoleon and all the history and all the battles that have been fought. But the thing is, I don't know. Listen, I can hate on England a lot, but they truly hate Croatia. They're like an underdog.
Yeah, I mean, they're the second smallest country ever to go to a World Cup final.
Yeah.
And they've only been in the World Cup five times.
But the point being, let me tell you, Joe, man, you gotta like the French a lot right now.
Of course.
Now you know what's crazy when you look at a background, and I could butcher some of these names. Bakbe, 19 years of age, he wasn't even born when France won the World Cup for the first and only time back in 1998. Christian, he's like LeBron James.
Yeah.
He's studs coming out. He is like a stud soccer player. They were saying, watch, and Qatar, the next World Cup. That's when they thought this guy was going to take it. That back heel pass he did was like unbelievable, showing you his ball skills. And like fringes. You know, you have like Guam, Puerto Rico, Hawaii. You look at like France, and you look at whether it's colonization or where it came about, like Martinique and Guadeloupe, they're like part of France. You look at like the one who made the goal to get to the finals. Imatiti, whatever. He was born in Cameroon. And then Bakbe.
Umtiti.
Yeah, how you say it?
Umtiti. According to Mark Renard.
He's from Cameroon. But he has French citizenship. They all live in Paris. And Bakbe, Mark, how you say that name again?
Umtiti.
No, the other one. The stud.
Bappe?
Bappe. Now look at this. He's Algerian and Cameroonian. That's where his roots are. But then when you look at him, what's crazy, you know, when they won the World Cup, you ever heard of he's the coach, or he was, he got fired for Real Madrid, Zinedine Zidane? He's from Algerian, because Algeria used to be a French colony.
Man, Joe didn't know what he was stepping in.
But no, the whole thing, Joe, is right now.
You're getting a DNA profile and a history lesson.
No, when you look at a melting pot of the French team, boy, that's what's great about immigration. And I can go to immigration topic. If you want the best players in the world that come to your country and you welcome them, what they bring into the table. And to me, where France is at, just look at the stud players and how many are truly homegrown, but became a part of France. And very young team like England was, but even on a different level.
Joe, save me, please. Go ahead.
I am going to call it 3-0, and we're going to turn the Statue of Liberty around and point it toward France and give them a shout-out, baby. Later.
All right, Joe. All right, we'll step away and come back. Got Frank Wilson, head football coach at University of Texas San Antonio. Of course, Marcus Davenport coming from that school.
Viva la France! Viva la Republic!
I'm glad you're back. That's all I can say. This is Sports Talk here on WBL.
Go Blue!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here with you. Our pleasure to welcome in now Frank Wilson, University of Texas San Antonio head football coach. Frank, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Look, I'd be remiss if I didn't come out the gate right away and ask you about Marcus Davenport. Obviously, you coached him there at UTSA, and I know you guys were excited when he landed with the Saints.
Of course we were. To have a young man who family have lineage and roots are in New Orleans and Louisiana to have an opportunity to play for that organization. It was a tremendous feat for he and his family. And for us as a university, we were just super excited that he got that opportunity as well.
Now, Frank, did you notice that Marcus had that ability from the get-go? Or was he like a late bloomer from a physical standpoint and also ability? Or was he looked like a basketball player coming to play football? Or what when you first set eyes on him?
Yeah. How you doing, Bob? It's good to hear from you.
All right, Frank.
Yeah, he was a basketball player. I would say that he was a guy that developed. You know, a lot of people would say everybody missed on him, but I don't know how you could say people miss when he wasn't ready made. It took him time and development. And fortunately, you know, he was at a place where time was on his side and he had an opportunity to be developed. And when, you know, he's a meager 210 pounds or so, when he gets here and leaves here 265, almost 270, that's a tremendous feat. And so he, the amazing thing, he got bigger, faster, and stronger as time went on. But we saw flashes. We saw flashes that we had seen before of a guy who can turn his toe and dip and go get a quarterback that can go up and under and get an ice pick and so he would flash, but he didn't have the girth to go with it at that time, and eventually he did.
Coach, what do you say when, you know, at a smaller school, a lot of time the NFL critics might say, yeah, we're concerned about the level of competition. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, you know, here's what I said to the guys when they called me from the staff. I got calls when he was in Mobile. I said, if you have any questions, you think you have some good talent out there? Yeah, we got guys from Mississippi State, Alabama, Missouri, Michigan. Put them against them. And it's easy. You'll figure it out.
Right.
Put them against them and see. And that'll answer your questions. And I think that happened in Mobile. It happened yet again. And he was tested and stretched and progged to see what he was and who he was. And I think he answered the question that solidified his spot.
Now, Frank, boy, you know, they're hard to find because everyone's or a number of individual players are specialized. Oh, I'm a pass rusher. I'm stout against the run. I can maybe get a sack now and then. And it's just hard to find that every down player. Like, look at Cam Jordan, first, second, third down. He finally got recognized not only as a Pro Bowler but All-Pro. When you look at Marcus Davenport now, I don't think he's going to throw him out there every down, you know, and hopefully he could just contribute and from the get-go. The point being, do you think he has that potential, though, like on first down, he's in the – you might be playing a running team. Are they going to run right at him, that he could hold his own and do his job?
Yeah.
And then an obvious pass rusher situation, he can get to the quarterback. Is he has that ability to beat it every down defensive end?
I think so. You know, being around those type of players for many years, I think he has those type of attributes. I think his greatest strength is to be able to rush a quarterback and sack a quarterback. But I do think he has enough girth, enough fortitude, enough strength to hold the point that runs toward him. I certainly know that he has the ability to run a heel line and run it down from behind on run away from him as well. But he understands leverage. He understands how to use his hands and how to disengage from an offensive player to put himself in position to be involved in the tackle. So, I think he can become an every down back in the National Football League.
UTSA head football coach Frank Wilson here on Sports Talk. Coach, I'm looking at your schedule for the Roadrunners. You open up against Arizona State and Baylor. You guys coming out the gate swinging, huh?
Yeah, they scheduled it before I got here. So we go Arizona State, Baylor, and then we go to Manhattan, Kansas to play Kansas State. So
yeah, well, the first game, Frank Herm Edwards. I mean,
you'll be
able to match wits against him, so that'll be a lot of fun. So
yeah, they're a talented team. Coach Edwards is an outstanding coach, and have done it a long time at the highest level with great success. So we look forward to the opportunity to compete against a quality football program.
Now, Frank, you look at your background. You and I go way back with Coach O, and you look at opportunity and your relationship that you developed with Coach O, and you look now at University of Texas San Antonio. And one thing I know, you know how important recruiting is, and Coach O the same. But being in Texas San Antonio, and you have University of Texas right there in Austin in your backyard, and all the universities there, but to me, there's so many players in Texas that can you be a difference maker and entice them to go there. But is it a case in point also that even though they have these number of players in Texas, that you still have a lot of ties to Louisiana, the New Orleans, River Parish region, that maybe you can give an opportunity to a diamond in the rough or a player to go play for you at University of Texas San Antonio?
Yeah, so we good question. Certainly, we understand the importance of recruiting. I think we've done a pretty admirable job since we've been here. Texas certainly is fertile recruiting grounds, and the multitude of players and just sheer numbers allow us to be able to recruit in-state and do a very good job in doing so. To be able to extend to Louisiana and to other southern states is important to us. We signed a player this year from Louisiana. We signed a player 2 years ago from Louisiana. We have a player committed for 2020 from Louisiana. And so, you know, we were able to pick our fights and come in there and find a guy that's a program fit for us and get him up here. And so we intend on continuing having the ability to do that, to lean back and come to Louisiana and do so. So, we like that option.
University of Texas San Antonio head football coach Frank Wilson, we appreciate the visit. Go Roadrunners, man.
Thank you guys so much. Birds up.
All right, Frank.
There you go. Birds up. Oh. I like it. Frank Wilson. That cat can flat out coach. Look, I know Texas San Antonio is certainly happy to have him, his recruiting prowess, and also his just flat out ability to coach the game.
Well, you know, Christian, obviously we want to know from a local perspective the Saints and Marcus Davenport. Mm-hmm. If Marcus Davenport, you know, always look at comparisons, NFL comparisons. Everybody does it. Now, if this turns out to be the case for him, Marcus Davenport compared to Ziggy Ansah. Now, he didn't do nothing against the Saints, you know, with the Lions. But you look at the whole NFL. Ziggy Ansah, you look at his physical traits, his football experience before college, very similar as Davenport, and you look at the whole draft process, he was picked. Now, he was picked fifth overall, with Davenport 15th. Mm-hmm. So Ansah fifth overall in 2013. And two seasons later, Pro Bowl honors in 2015. So I'm looking at Marcus Davenport by 2020. If he's a Pro Bowler, I mean, come on. How can you not say it was the right pick?
I love Frank Wilson's response. Just put him up against them. You're worried about lower-level competition? Just put him up against those big-time players from those big-time programs. Right. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWLAMFM.com. Which LSU game has you the most excited? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Same for the Saints. Which Saints game has you the most excited this season? It's got to be Bama for LSU, but if we're ranking the 28 games between a 16 for the Saints and a 12 for the LSU Tigers. We are at number 22 right now. LSU and Arkansas. Look, the past seven times LSU's played Arkansas, it's come off a loss to Alabama. So, but they're 5-2 in those ball games against Arkansas.
Well, I look at the Razorbacks. No, if LSU's heading in the right direction, I don't care if it's in Baton Rouge or at Arkansas, LSU should win that game. As simple as that. I mean, I'm not.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not hating or, you know, some Razorback fan will say, like, Bobby, you don't know about the Hogs. Well, the Hogs surely couldn't take care of the World Series.
One out away. A foul ball.
What? Come on.
One out away.
Was the second baseman that overran? Okay, Christian, you know baseball. Okay, you got the first baseman, right fielder, and the second baseman.
They all go to the ball.
So the right fielder should have caught it because he's moving forward.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the second baseman said, I got it. Then he overruns it. I mean, I was like, you got to be freaking
kidding. The outfielder should always call off the infielder when you're coming forward and another player's going backward. They weren't going. He was going more forward because of the angle. I mean, the second baseman was going backward. Let's be clear.
Well, he overran the ball when it went over.
Yeah, because it's harder to judge that because you're running backwards like that. It's much easier to run to catch a fly ball and judge a fly ball if you're running towards it.
You look at SEC baseball. No. I mean, to me, if you follow SEC baseball, you would have wanted Arkansas to beat Oregon State. I mean, even though you might say, oh, well, because, you know, one thing, if you're an LSU fan, they've always had Arkansas's number. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you'd want maybe Arkansas to be national champs. But to be so close but so far, boy, it went downhill from there.
It certainly did. Ranking the games going on to 21 now. Saints and Bengals. We talked about this with Joe when he was calling. I told you about.
No, that's about not Joe from Mandeville.
It was Joe from Haywood. It was Haywood. I'm sorry.
From Cleveland. Come on, Christian.
Okay, yeah. Well, look. Can't keep all my callers straight here. Sorry.
Joe could care less about Cincinnati.
No, you're right. He cares about the Cowboys. Anyway, so Haywood, we were talking about that earlier.
Hook'em horns.
87, that game in 20, that game that you were playing.
Right.
In. Did you get injured in that game?
Yes, my knee.
Okay.
I had to get my knee drained before and after the game.
Okay, so you guys ended up coming. At the time, that was the largest second half comeback in Saints history.
Yes, Dave Wilson.
24-3, 44-24 was the final
win. First
round
pick, supplemental quarterback. From California, from University of Illinois, Fighting Illini.
The other memory I have, Saints-Bengals in 20, I want to say it was 2010 or 11, when Chris Ivory ran on them pretty good. But more importantly, though, that's the no-brainer freeze play. You remember it was 4th-and-1 inside the 5-yard line. The Saints were in a battle with the with the Bengals at this point.
And they jumped off sides.
They did the no-brainer freeze play.
Drew Brees enticed them to jump off sides.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody in the park was stunned because it was a shocking play. That's all it was. There was no intent to run a play.
Listen, the Bengals are the cheapest team in the NFL and ain't even close. The Brown family, if you get drafted by the Bengals, that's possibly the worst team to be drafted by as far as because they'll take chances on suspect players because they don't have to pay them as much. Perfect, the linebacker, who could be potentially a stud, but he's always in trouble. But when you look at the Bengals and where they're at, their head coach is slipping my mind.
Marvin Lewis.
How the hell he still got a job? In this day and age, whatever you do for him.
Because the Bengals are cheap, like you said.
Yeah, and he brings that stability. But I think he has to be on the hot seat if he doesn't win. He has to win now.
Well, he was supposed to be. He was almost ousted last year. Then he kind of talked ownership into keeping him around for one more year.
Well, yeah. So it has to be a hot seat for the Bengals, and I don't know if the Bengals are going to do anything. I look at the Bengals probably like the Browns. I don't view them on the level of obviously the Steelers or even the Ravens. The Ravens were on the cusp of going to the playoffs. I look at the Bengals, maybe a little bit better than the Browns, 6-7 wins, somewhere around there. So how can Marvin Lewis keep his job? Now, their quarterback, the redhead from TCU.
Andy Dalton. The Red Rocket, baby.
Now, I think, okay, Andy Dalton. Look at Andy Dalton and what they've paid him. And has he won anything? No. But there's not enough quarterbacks. Andy Dalton in the right place, right time, might be a version of Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith. It could potentially maybe win a Super Bowl on the right team, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, people might say, oh, Andy Dalton, he's like, we need to go a different direction. I'm telling you, 32 teams, Andy Dalton would have for sure a handful of jobs potentially to lead that team. Put it this way. You heard me say this before, Matthew Stafford. Kirk Cousins, let Sean Payton coach him. I think he'll take him on a different level. Andy Dalton with Sean Payton? I'm telling you.
You think he can make him elite?
Playoff team and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl and win it. I think Andy, that's why I think the future quarterback for the Saints is an experienced, somewhat accomplished quarterback in the NFL.
If Sean Payton is still there.
Yes. Yes.
Now, this I'm not entirely sure that Sean Payton's going to stick around much longer after Breeze.
Well, why wouldn't he? Got so much power in Yarlin. Why would he leave?
Because he's always said, no, he's always said he's not a lifer.
What?
He said he's not a lifer.
He got
coach.
A freaking maid in Yarlin.
I hear you, but why would he want to go to any other NFL team? The rest of his life.
He might not want to coach.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to go to another team. I'm saying he might just be done with coaching.
Oh, no, yes, I agree with that. But as far as coaching, come on. He has more stroke and power in New Orleans than any other NFL team he could have. Mm-hmm. Why would he want to go anywhere else?
Yeah.
Now he just needs to get that right quarterback to continue the process, and I think it'd be more a quarterback that's not coming out of college but has had somewhat success proven on the NFL level. Like, I think Sean Payton could do an unbelievable job, like I said before, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, Andy Dalton.
He's the quarterback whisperer, that's for sure.
That I think with their offense and what they could do, that's going to be the Drew Brees' replacement. It ain't going to be some guy just coming out of college. It's not going to be BYU.
Matthew Stafford isn't going to be a free agent anytime soon. Neither is Kirk Cousins.
No, but I'm saying that type of guy. What about Andy Dalton?
We'll see.
I mean, you don't know. I'm just saying, who Taysom Hill. I mean, okay. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the Times-Picayune and all, and they're like Jeff Duncan, and all, they're all over like Taysom Hill because Sean Payton was like stroking Taysom Hill. He was accurate the first day. The other four or five practices, he was not accurate. I mean, come on. To be on the level of a Drew Brees, I don't know if he's there on the Saints roster. I'm so intrigued with training camp coming up to see what the hell Taysom Hill's going to do in the preseason games. Because one thing about Taysom Hill.
He can run.
Yes.
He can improvise.
And those kind of plays with Sean Payton, that's going to be interesting. But he still has to be more accurate.
Bobby and Christian coming back for Jay and Luling. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Before we get to number 20 on our list, ranking the Saints and LSU most exciting games, least exciting games, we'll get to Jay and Luling. What's going on, Jay? You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. This is what I got thinking, what I'm thinking. We're going to learn right off the jump street how the Ensminga Ogeron season is going to go with LSU and Miami.
For sure.
Start the season.
Well, you know, Jay, especially.
You got to get one of those first. You got to get that one or Auburn.
Well, you have to. Yeah. If you look at it, Miami. And then the next game you're going to win, or you should win, obviously.
Right.
And then Auburn. You have to beat either Miami or Auburn. Let's say you lose to Miami.
But with Miami, you're on a neutral site. You're at Auburn in week three. You're at Auburn.
Well, then if you lose to Miami in Dallas, then you got to win at Auburn. You got to be at least 2-1. You cannot be 1-2.
Yep, that's gonna tell us a lot about what we're gonna see from LSU this season.
That's what I think too.
Look, if they go 1-2, that's a 7-win team.
Well, no. If it's 1-2, then Coach O's gonna be on the hot seat. It just comes with the territory. It's not. I'm not judging anything. It just comes with being the head coach at LSU. That and the expectations that. You can't say, oh, we're going to be 3-0. If we 3-0, everyone's like, ooh, you know, extension. but the whole thing is.
You got to beat Alabama to get an extension.
No, but the point being, everyone would be optimistic.
Yeah.
If you beat Miami and beat Auburn and you 3-0, what? Oh. I mean, yeah, everybody's going, whoa, well, maybe, you know, the quarterback's working out.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Ensminger, the defense, we all coming together. As a team,
I have a hard time seeing that just because of the way the schedule lays out. But more importantly,
well, that's why they played a game, Christian.
I know. I get that. I have a hard time seeing it. I hope I'm wrong. Go ahead, Jay. You had something about Saints and Vikings?
I think that game is going to determine where the NFC Championship game is played, and it might even end up being a rematch.
Well, don't discount Philadelphia, and don't discount the matchup against the Rams either.
Well, you know what, Jay? That's going to be tough, though. Boy, we can get off to – think about this. We can, as Saints fans, we can get off to a great start and be 4-1 or 5-0. You got to go at Baltimore. Sean Payton and Drew Brees never beaten the Ravens. Then you got to go at Minnesota and the Rams at home. So all of a sudden – so let's say you 4-1 or you 5-0. So – Christian, all of a sudden, that 5 games and you have 3 more, then all of a sudden you can have win 1 of the next 2. Like, you don't win at Baltimore, you don't win at Minnesota, you beat the Rams, or you only win 1 out of the next 2. And then all of a sudden you have 3 losses or hopefully only 2 losses. But it's unbelievable.
I'll tell you this.
The strength of that schedule.
I'm reaching here. I'll admit that. Rams, Eagles, Vikings, Saints beat all 3 of those. They're hosting. They got the number 1 seed in the playoffs.
So say it again.
If the Saints beat the Vikings, Eagles, and Rams, they'll be the number 1 seed.
So that means you think for sure they're winning at least 12 games, mm-hmm. if not 13.
They'll be the number 1 seed if they beat all 3 of those teams, perhaps 2 out of those 3. This is Sports Talk. Thanks for the phone call, Jay. This is WWLAMFM.com. Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian here. Text here from 6809. Rams won't be a factor. They're trying to buy a championship. 8-8 is what I see. Well, look, I don't know if I'm willing to say that they're not going to be a factor, but I understand where you're going when you consider the amount of personalities that team has added in the offseason, especially on the defensive side of the football. And you got a young coach in Sean McVay, but the wild card is.
Yeah, but it don't matter if they have a young coach in Sean McVay. They got Wade Phillips.
That's what I was about to say. That's
yes.
what the wild card is.
Come on.
He's the one that's going to have to manage those personalities.
And he can manage those personalities. He got skins on the wall. He knows how to handle those dudes.
Yeah, and look, they'll respect him. They're not going to step on him.
If you hate on Wade Phillips, you need to look in the mirror. That you are a total jerk. You're not a good person, and that Wade can manipulate you. Just talk to Ricky Jackson if ever you see him. Say, hey, City Champ. So what do you think of Wade Phillips? And just wait for that response. Wade Phillips is that awesome. I mean, I don't even do they even have this in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
A defensive coordinator?
Defensive coordinator, offensive coordinators.
Right. He should be in there.
Yes. As a coordinator, he's unbelievable.
He's that good. Everywhere he goes, every defense he touches ends up being the top.
Turns to gold.
The top defense in the league or near the top. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWLAMFM.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.